Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to episode 114 of The Philosophy Show at blogtalkradio.com/philosophy. My name is Thomas, your host tonight. It's Wednesday night, Thursday morning, 12:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, November 26th. It's Thanksgiving, and either tonight or tomorrow night's a full moon. And so, won't you howl with me at the moon? Oh! Okay, and this is a half-an-hour show every Wednesday night, Thursday morning, same time. You can also visit my YouTube, youtube.com/blastoffreshair. And today's episode, I titled it, Get Your Politics Out of My Politics. And so it's also a call-in show, so if you'd like to call in, that number is 646-929-1344, and we can talk about whatever. This is called The Philosophy Show, and I think the title says it all. And so well, let's get into it. Get your politics out of my politics, and I bet, you know, Thanksgiving is notoriously known as a day where people get together with their families and argue about religion or politics and philosophy. I mean, philosophy, you know, is understanding the meaning of life. And so, you know how people say, like, get your politics, like, you know, in polite company, you don't want to talk about religion or politics or at work. Well, I can understand that at work in most situations. And, you know, get your politics out of my music, get your politics out of my movies. I'm not saying I advocate that, but that's a meme you might have heard sometime. You know, it's even kind of risque to ask someone who they voted for, and you know, just have your silent vote. But politics, I mean, is everything from how easily it is for you to be able to start a business or to develop on land, or you know, how much your money is worth. And whether you live in a police state, you know, whether certain substances are legal or not, and you know, and your mode of travel and privacy and free association and what you can say and do, and whether you'll be drafted to go to war for a military machine that's out of control and siphoning off a huge portion of our tax base, your tax dollars. You know, when you pay someone to do a service, you're the boss. When someone extorts money from you and tells you what to do, then you're the opposite. You're the unboss. You've been bossed. And so I did type in a couple of subjects here about get your politics out of my politics, because politics, what I'm trying to say, is essential to civilization, basically. Whether you would have government or not, politics is conversating with people. I mean, actually, if you look up the true definition, and let me just put in here politics, politico, social relations involving intrigue to gain authority or power, or But it's basically social relations. You can just leave it at that. And so when you put politics into it, what's also the other word known as politics is spin. You know, spin. Spin your head around until you're dizzy and you try to stand up and you have a distorted view of things. So I wrote down here some topics here from role reversals to Donald Trump politics to politicians preaching to the choir rather than reaching out. What ends up costing more? Capitalism and socialism, Bush and Clinton, dynasties, focusing on issues, Hillary Clinton and the female votes, Bernie Sanders and socialism, Republicans and capitalism, Obama criticisms. And so start with the Bush and Clinton thing, because, and also third party politics. So that's what we're gonna navigate through the channels today. And when we come out, you know, we'll have digested this conversation. And if you want to be a part of this conversation, give us a call. We can talk about whatever. So, you know, there was a George Bush back in 1980 that was a vice president to Ronald Reagan, and then he became president in 1992, and then he took us to the first Gulf War, and then in 1988, and then his term was from 88 to 1992, and then in 1992, there was a three-way race between Bill Clinton, the first George Bush, George the First, I guess, and Ross Perot, who was a third-party independent candidate. And actually, at one point, Ross Perot was winning between the three of them. And then he dropped out. And then he came back in like the last 2 months. And he still, for a three-way race, got like, I don't know, about 20%. But that's pretty good for a three-way race, and especially if he had dropped out and came back in. So people were sick of Bush. He was the person that phrased the New World Order. Republicans didn't like him. Democrats didn't like him. People weren't really crazy for Clinton, but within a three-way race, Ross Perot took more votes away from Bush, probably, than Clinton. And so, in essence, I mean, you know, Clinton loved that Perot ran, but Perot knew when he dropped out and then came back in, he probably wouldn't win. You don't just drop out, because that told everyone he wasn't dedicated. You know, you need someone who's dedicated who's going to run for president. But it showed also how, you know, we almost had a third-party candidate. He was a billionaire, and he totally trashed both of them in the debates the same way Donald Trump is trashing the rest of the Republicans. Now, that leads me to, and then, of course, we had the second George Bush in the year 2000 to 2008, which led to Obama, and Bush led to, you know, the Iraq War and unprecedented debts and the market going way down. I mean, people that were born since like the year 2000 have never experienced even a good economy. You know, people are like 15 years old now. You know, you've never lived in a freer or more prosperous America. You don't even know what it's like. And before the Patriot Act, before police states, after 9/11, anyways, I mean, not that there weren't a lot of bad things going on before and ever since, but, you know, and then the third party movement kind of, or the independent movement kind of waned down after 1992, because they didn't let third-party people in the debates anymore. They saw how dangerous Perot was against Bush and Clinton. He almost won. And so it kind of fizzled out a little bit, and then the economy kind of had a bubble, and people were feeling good. It was like the Roaring Twenties, but in the 90s kind of way with the Internet, kind of an Internet revolution also. And now Trump, he has done a great job. He's kind of like doing for, I mean, he's wiping out the, he's almost, you know, Hillary Clinton's best friend. I mean, because if he's what's left running against her, he's giving her the best chance to win. But although if he won, we have to be real careful because now that Trump has, I think it's good that he has crushed and shown what mice that people who claim they were men were, who are the Republicans, whether it's Jeb Bush, a dynasty. I mean, the Bushes, we don't need any more Bushes and Clintons. I mean, out of 300 million people in this country, you'd think we could find a better men and women running for president than the same old Bush or the same old Clinton. I mean, what about Senator Elizabeth Warren and the Democrats? Or, you know, I'm sure there's lots of other people in the Republican Party that could have ran. All of those people up there are just bought and sold politicians. People don't understand, like, I can't believe Trump has so much influence in the Republican Party. It's partly because he's right. We have horrible people in charge. We have the dumbest people in the charge. We get ripped off at every turn. They are totally incompetent. They are totally non-principled. They're totally just out for themselves, and they have the fakest smiles, and they're totally bought and sold and are complete lapdogs for Wall Street, the oil companies, the pharmaceutical companies, the military-industrial complex. I mean, those big industries, and pass more laws to have stupid laws, so there's more of a growth in private prisons, where we have the largest amount of the population in prison than any other country in the entire world, up and down, left and right, in the entire world. You might not believe that, but you're living in the country. You know what propaganda can do? It can make you not see reality. I mean, we criticize other countries, or we used to criticize other countries back in the 90s, 80s for human rights violations and be the champion of human rights. That was our thing. We would be the champion of human rights. We were like freedom fighters fighting for freedom. And now you're living in a country that has the largest amount of people in prison, percentage-wise, and not or, but and in actual numbers. And we have the most laws that can get people in prison. We're highly taxed, and you know, I mean, one of the most corrupt systems. I mean, there is, like, you can tell because we're seeing, what was expected to be the battle was going to be a Bush versus Clinton. I mean, just seeing those as your only two choices out of this entire country, that was the original theme. Now it's going to be Trump versus Clinton, which is almost as bad. I mean, Trump has done nothing but to hurt Rand Paul, Bernie Sanders, and help Hillary Clinton, and also hurt Jeb Bush, coincidentally, but that might have been just psychological warfare. So now we need someone to take out, like, it was good that Trump took out all those other neocons, those rhinos, those fake Republicans, those fake conservatives, those wannabe shill, you know, hall monitoring losers, as Trump would say. Now he's getting a little fascist, and we need someone to take him out politically. I mean, the only someone who should do it would be Rand Paul. I mean, he's the only one who has any sense in the Republican Party. I mean, John Kasich, I would have said, was all right, but he's talking about having a religious department, and he was a banker. not that all bankers are bad, but, you know, he was pretty, after he left Congress, you could tell, like, you know, he got a lobbying type of a deal. And so I don't know if he would be able to break them up or not be, you know, bought out to them. But that's no different than any of the rest. And so I don't know. And Trump has said he's doing just what it takes to get elected. At least he's honest about that. Obama was willing to lie and say, yeah, I'm going to do this, this, and that. We're never going to pass the Patriot Act. We're going to have a public option. You know, I'm going to de-escalate the wars overseas. And, you know, he's not hire any lobbyists in my administration when his whole administration's filled with, like, Goldman Sachs and stuff. I mean, from day one. And completely just said anything to get into bed with you and then, you know, told you to get lost the day after. That's what he did. He told you anything, even the most ridiculous things you should have never even believed. And Trump's kind of doing the same thing for the rights, but I don't know if he's serious or not, but it doesn't matter. Anyone who's willing to lie that much isn't worth getting elected. And anyone who's for his fascistic policies, I mean, has no principle at all. I mean, you just want America to be great, but you don't know what makes it great. You're like someone who hogs the bed and snores loud at night and, you know, is pretty much, I don't know. I'm not going to get into a war of words here, but, you know, he's preaching to the choir. And that's another problem with politics is, you know, people believe that, you know, all you need is like a fervent 10% to rule this country. They don't believe in democracy. They don't care about the long run. You know, people complain about socialists, like, and I'm not a socialist. I believe in public options, but I also believe very much in people's right to opt out and be left alone. But people complain about socialists that they want, you know, satisfaction in the short term, but not the long term. That's what the Republicans do. They'd rather pay off the debt now, suffer the short term for a long term gain. And in a sense, that's true about the debt, maybe. But the socialists, I mean, you can't argue that. They could easily see it as they want to make hard investments now that they're not going to enjoy, but their generations later on will. I mean, what if you had a highly educated next generation that was very civilized, very strong in engineering and science and math and civics and philosophy? You know, I think it would be a better world. I mean, and if you had a high school graduation rate above 50%, that was more like in a 90% area, it'd be a much better world. There'd be a better economy. I think all that would probably be true. Now, you could say the education system is indoctrination. Sure. Yeah, I understand. And people can keep getting continuing education through books and the internet and through life. That's something that, you know, you're either going to do or you're not, pretty much most of the time anyways. And there is a lot of stuff to learn out there, but sometimes it's good to have a class to have that discipline to study through things, especially like math, you know, and to be able to work on experiments in a lab that a university might provide. But that everyone, I think, should have some access to. But, you know, what about Hillary? I mean, and let's get back to Obama real quick. I mean, you know, and the people that were complaining about his birth certificate and stuff, were they helping like real genuine criticism against Obama? Or were they hurting it? Because if you had real genuine criticism about the drone strikes, about, you know, pretty much going to war without needing Congress, about executive orders, about lobbyists in his administration, about not having a public option in this healthcare law that basically is a socialism for health insurance companies at our freaking expense, totally at our expense, to give away to insurance companies. And so was his bailouts to the banks after 2011. They had like two or three more bailouts of trillions of dollars. So But if you wanted, pretty much those birth certificate people shut out the real criticism, because then everyone would say, oh, you're one of those birthers or something, you know, if you had any real criticism. And also, I have to admit, a lot of people didn't want to criticize him because he's the first black president, and that's not judging someone on character. And I know not everyone was like that, not even the majority, but enough people were. And that's kind of faded out now, I think. You know, the mirage has kind of been revealed. But that's the same thing with Hillary Clinton. A lot of women are supporting Clinton just because she's a woman, not because of her character, not who's actually going to advance the cause of women. Like Bernie Sanders, I think, in my estimation, would. Out of all the people, and I don't even think he's the greatest person ever and all this stuff. I mean, I'm not like a real fan, but I do think anyone who has a chance to win who's above double-digit numbers, he's the most sane person. So I do, at this point, think he's the best choice. I don't think he's going to be able to pass through some of the social things he wants, but he's definitely going to be more judicious with war. He is going to slash the Defense Department's budget and end the war on drugs and, you know, do a lot of good civil libertarian things. Get rid of the Patriot Act, and I think he will be strong on defense. And a lot of our defense is getting along with other countries in a civilized way, and that's not being weak. That's another thing people play politics with big time, is the military. I mean, you know, just because you want to cut the military budget in half, which is what it should be cut in half about, but it should be spent a lot more wisely, we'd still have the bigger military than like the next five countries combined. And we would be able to get out of debt, which is one of our number one national emergencies. I'd be a strong commander in chief. I mean, just hypothetically saying, I mean, I'd say I am the boss. The buck stops here. I am the public servant commander in chief who is elected. This is our civilian military. We're going to have very strong military. Troops are going to have the strongest armor. Let's bring out the next generation of armor for them and guns and stuff like that. We're going to have a super strong special forces. You know, we're going to have our submarines. We're going to protect our trade routes. You know, all of that's going to maintain in place. But what we're not going to do is run stupid projects that we don't need. We're not going to allow contractors to sell any weapons to any other countries, except maybe like friendships like Canada, yeah, Australia, yeah, but then they're not going to be able to sell those technologies to the Middle East and stuff like that, which we do all the time, all the time. And, you know, we're going to have a good space program. I mean, we might even spend more money if we invest it, right, in space and technology, and it's public, and so small businesses can use some of these technologies in the marketplace as well. But, yeah, any generals who are bought and sold by the military-industrial complex will be fired immediately. They're going to replace them with true people. Like, we are going to find this generation's Pattons and Eisenhowers and whatever, you know. Be very strong military, super strong, stronger than you've ever imagined, but one that's fighting for freedom, the Constitution, one that you can be proud of, one that takes its oath seriously. And strong for true. It's very weak to say that you're bought out. I mean, that's not strong. That means you're being a sucker. So we're not going to be a sucker. And to calling Bernie Sanders a socialist is playing politics with real, true politics that we need. He's not any more socialist than any of those Republicans running. You know, Martin Luther King Jr. once said, you know, the Republicans want individual ruggedness for the poor people, but complete socialism and welfare for the rich. And that's exactly it. The rich who get bailed out with billions of dollars, you know, are complaining about, you know, food stamps or socialism for the poor. We wouldn't even need food stamps if we had a better economy and just better policies. You know, I mean, what is Bernie Sanders for? Expanding a program where you already have Medicare to everyone. How is that going to help businesses if businesses don't need to pay for insurance anymore for their employees? That's going to be huge savings. That's going to make our businesses a lot more competitive, plus have a healthier workforce. And it's going to cut a lot of bureaucracy. And I think we should still have a private sector. You know, maybe there should be somewhat of a deductible that you have to pay so you don't just go in for every little sneeze that someone has. But, you know, something reasonable, like $100 or something. And you know, what really is politics when Republicans and Democrats try to tell third-party candidates not, you know, don't vote, waste your vote on this independent or third-party candidate. That is really hardcore playing politics. That's don't waste your vote on the best choice you possibly have, someone who will directly represent you, and not be beholden to special interests, the few, the special, instead of the broad public that they're supposed to represent. Yeah, don't waste your vote on that. Waste it on, and they say this every 4 years. This has been going on since 1980, but then you have new people, like people that just turn 18 or in their 20s. They've never even heard, you know, this is the first time they've heard it. So they're all new to this game, you know. And by the time they figure out they're 50, they're going to be pissed at the next generation for being such suckers to these arguments. Not all of them, but, you know, of course, I think 18-year-olds should be able to vote because they can be drafted. But honestly, I think maybe we should get rid of the, you know, a lot of the problems with our military, too, is, you know, you shouldn't have a whole platoon of young people. They should be mixed in with older people. And because I was pretty smart at 18, but I didn't know everything, and I thought I pretty much did. And, you know, I think people in their 20s would be a lot better soldiers anyways than someone who's completely immature mentally, probably for the most part. Not that they would have to be, but our schools don't really educate them. It's just about being a sucker to peer pressure. You're not forming your individuality. You're losing your individuality. And for the most part, and just learning that, you know, being smart is uncool and, you know, being stupid is cool. And, you know, and I'm not saying everyone, but, you know, you shouldn't be drafted till you're 21. And then we should also not allow people to vote till 21. Maybe. I don't know. I mean, if you look at all the crime statistics, pretty much all the crime is, you know, people under 24 years of age. So when they look at those gun statistics, a lot of those, you know, maybe shouldn't, you know, the probably, and I'm not for this, I'm just taking the other point of view here, but I mean, maybe, you know, have a background checks for people that are under 21 or 24 is really the main age. We got 90 seconds left. I mean, no one ever looks at that aspect, but most of, you know, the accidents and stuff like that. So anyways, we didn't get to role reversals yet, but yeah, I mean, if Rand Paul wants a chance, he's going to have to get a club and whack it across Trump's head, I mean, politically speaking. And if he doesn't do that, and he needs to stand up strong, Bernie Sanders needs to stand up strong, their surrogates need to support them. And the game's not over. I mean, we can go in two sections of a timeline here, and hopefully we're going to go in the right one, not the Twilight Zone, but the right path. And we can. This, I mean, there could be a brighter day for America. Then again, you know, we could have Trump or Hillary or Bush. You know, that would be horrible for a country. Another 4 years, we can't afford another 4 years. And if your expectations are that freaking low, then I feel sorry for you. But you know, we need to elect as many independent and third party candidates to the Congress as possible too. I mean, if we elected enough people to the Congress, then it wouldn't matter who was the president, honestly. So anyways, peace out. This is the Philosophy Show. We got like 10 seconds remaining, and happy Thanksgiving. There was a
clouds, they were rolling through the sky, and they brought down all the rain. And there was a puddle that became a pond as it gathered up so much rain. Little seed close by grew into a tree as it soaked up so much rain.